Greetings and welcome to the Gloucester Daily Times for Friday, April 10th, 2026, brought to you by the Talking Information Center, located in beautiful Marshfield, Massachusetts. This is your reader, George Krein. Today's lead story, schools start merger process. Plum Cove, Beeman plan headed to City Council, written by Bobby Grady. The Gloucester School Committee unanimously approved, quote, statements of interest to send to the Massachusetts School Board Building Authority in an effort to begin the process of combining Beeman and Plum Cove elementary schools. The committee made the decision during their Wednesday night meeting. The statements outlined the deficiencies of both buildings in hopes the Massachusetts School Building Authority will take on the project to potentially combine the schools under one new roof. Before the statements can be submitted to the state authority that assists districts with major school building and renovation projects, they must be approved by City Council at its next meeting. The deadline to submit the statements to the state is next Friday, April 17th. Once approved and submitted, the school district will not know if the authority will take on the project until at least December. If the authority does not take on the project, the committee has said the school district will try again next year. Throughout the process of crafting the statements, school officials have outlined the major problems with each building, citing aging and deteriorating infrastructure, as well as a severe lack of space, as drivers behind the proposal. The 70-year-old Beeman, the worst of the two, according to school officials, has been forced to convert closets into offices and divide classrooms into shared spaces for several purposes. The school's gymnasium, cafeteria, assembly room, and library, in quotes, library, a collection of rolling book carts, all use the same space. Plum Cove isn't much different, according to officials. Outside of the general education classrooms and the gymnasium, there are just three other rooms in the building. Non-core curriculum classes such as art and music are sharing spaces with psychologists and the special education coordinator, while the other two rooms are being used to provide specialized services for school children. The aging, heating, cooling, and electrical systems at both schools are driving the proposal because they are so old and have deteriorated to a point past restoration. Each school also has a number of aging, quote, modular classrooms, pre-built rooms that are designed to be temporary ways to give a school more space. But at Plum Cove, 50% of its total classrooms are modular, while Beeman's modular unit make up 33% of the classrooms. The classrooms were rehabilitated in 2022, 2 years after their effective life cycle, and cannot be rehabbed again. Bank gives $10,000 to Lily Jean Fund, institution for savings, also supporting benefit concert. It's written by Bobby Grady. The institution for savings has donated $10,000 to the fishing vessel Lily Jean Fund to support the families impacted by the January 30th tragedy. The 72-foot Lily Jean was returning to port early January 30th to repair fishing gear when it sank in frigid Atlantic waters about 25 miles away from the historic fishing port of Gloucester with no mayday. The Coast Guard was alerted when an emergency position indicating radio beacon, or EPIRB, was activated. The body of Captain Accursio Gus Sanfilippo was recovered at the site. The other crew lost at sea were Paul Beale Sr., Paul Beale Jr., John Rosanitas, Freeman Short, Sean Therian, and Jada Samet, a NOAA fishery observer. The Institution for Savings announced the donation through its charitable foundation on Wednesday. The bank is also supporting the fundraising concert May 17th at The Cut at 177 Main Street, where 100% of all proceeds will be donated to the fund. The concert will be run from noon to 9 p.m. and is expected to feature 20 local artists, bands, and storytellers. An entry wristband will allow attendees to come and go, but seating will be first come, first serve. Tickets are $10 each. For more information, you can visit thecutlive, all one word, .com. This was an unthinkable tragedy suffered by the families of the crew members who lost their lives and for the Gloucester community as a whole, said Michael J. Jones, the president and CEO of the Institution for Savings. While these funds will never make up for this heartbreaking loss of life, we are grateful to be part of a broader community effort to provide some support and comfort to those families who lost so much on that tragic day. At its annual meeting in March, the bank reported net income of $49 million for 2025, an increase of $10.2 million over the prior year, and a return on assets of 0.91%. Jones at that time said the bank's financial strength allowed its charitable foundation to contribute over $2.3 million to local nonprofit organizations last year. On Cape Ann, the Newburyport-based Institution for Savings operates branches at 4 Parker Street in Gloucester and 37 King Street in Rockport. Fund organizers, Cape Ann Savings Bank President Mary Ann Smith, Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund member Vito Giacalone, and Bank Gloucester President Patrick Thorpe recently appeared in a video to solicit donations as an anonymous donor pledged to match $40,000 in donations. Other recent donations include $1,400 from Gloucester-based professional wrestling group Outlaw Championship Wrestling, $10,000 from the Gloucester Rotary Club, and $11,600 from the St. Peter's Club. New Gloucester, Maine residents Kimberly Brousseau and Beverly Cadigan last week presented Mayor Paul Lundberg with a check for $3,282, all of which was raised by the town's 6,000 residents. The donation also included sympathy cards and gift bags from Maine Fudge for each family affected. The fishing vessel Lily Jean Fund was started by the Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund, which is accepting tax-deductible donations. All contributions to the FV Lily Jean Fund will be distributed equally among the 7 families. Anyone who wants to contribute to Fishing Vessel Lily Jean Fund can do so in the following ways. Online, that is through the internet, you can visit fvlilyjean-fund.org to make donations via credit or debit card, PayPal or Venmo. To maximize impact, donors are asked to increase their donation by $1 because of processing fees. Also, checks we made out to Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund or GFCPF with Lily Jean Fund on the memo line and be mailed to Gloucester, I'll repeat all this, Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund, or you can probably put GFCPF as part of the address, care of Cape Ann Savings Bank, 109 Main Street, Gloucester, Mass., 01930. Again, the address is GFCPF, care of Cape Ann Savings Bank, 109 Main Street, Gloucester, Mass., 01930, or in person. Donations can also be made at any Cape Ann Savings Bank or any Bank Gloucester location. 1623 Studios Leadership Changes. Cape Ann 1623 Studios announced that Executive Director Eric Archer has stepped down from his role and is departing the organization effective immediately. Archer has led the nonprofit Community Media Center, also known as the Local Public Access Channel, since 2013 when it operated as Cape Ann Television before it was rebranded. Archer was part of the transition to what is now called 1623 Studios. He oversaw a decade of content creation and storytelling, including the expansion of programming and broader use of digital media platforms, according to a statement from the studio board. Cape Ann Television was located at Blackburn Center before moving in 2019 to 11 Pleasant Street in downtown Gloucester. The organization's mission is to offer residents and organizations a platform to produce and share their own content, which is broadcast on Comcast Channels 6, 8, and 9. Board leadership expressed appreciation for Archer's contributions during a period of evolution, particularly as the organization navigated changes in technology, audience behavior, and the broader media landscape. For over a decade, Eric has shepherded our production teams to elevate the tone and quality of the 1623 Studios programming while delivering on our commitment to the public, education, and government communication needs of Cape Ann, said Dawn Epstein, president of 1623 Studios Board of Directors. We thank him for his work and wish him well in his next chapter. The Times was unable to contact Archer before publication. The organization will continue its core mission of providing public educational and government access programming to the communities of Gloucester, Rockport, Essex, and Manchester by the Sea. This includes coverage of local government meetings, elections, community events, as well as original programming, including the award-winning educational series Timeline Cape Ann and The Color of Light, which focuses on the region's history and cultural life. The Board of Directors is overseeing operations during this transition and will evaluate next steps for leadership in the coming months. During this period, daily operations at the station will continue to be managed by operations specialist Emily Games, who has served the station for nearly 4 years. This is a moment of transition and opportunity, said Stan Franzine, a board member and a North Shore Public Access Television veteran. Our focus is on aligning the organization's operations with our funding and setting up 1623 for success as a resource for the Cape Ann community long into the future. Cape Ann's community television has served audiences for decades, providing a platform for local voices and access to civic and cultural programming. Corey Kusuru, a producer and host, said the new board of directors will bring a fresh outlook for staff and local programming. In the last year, we have a new board, and there's a renewed interest to integrate ourselves more in the community. It's a completely different approach to collaborating, and everyone is from this community, and we're trying to produce the best content and coverage for all the communities, Kusuru said. I think this new board will give us the support and encouragement to make that happen. John Ronan, whose program, The Writer's Block, is now in its 36th season, said Archer was innovative and a visionary, and he applauded the move to the downtown location. Produced at 1623 Studios, Ronan's program was recognized with a New England Cable Television Award for educational programming and is one of the longest-running cable shows in New England. Here are a few Cape Ann news briefs. Meals on Wheels Breakfast. Senior Care Incorporated invites you to its 52nd annual Meals on Wheels Breakfast fundraiser from 7 to 9:30 a.m. Friday, May 15th at the Gloucester House, 63 Rogers Street in downtown Gloucester. Tickets are $25 per person for a buffet breakfast and may be purchased online or at the door. All proceeds support Senior Care's Meals on Wheels nutrition program, which supports weekday meal deliveries in 9 North Shore communities. For information, you can call, I'll repeat it, of course, 978-281-1750, again, 978-281-1750, or online at seniorcareinc.org. Manchester Seniors. Manchester Council on Aging has cooked up some fun ways for seniors to sail into spring. Check out the schedule, and if something sounds good, act fast and get these seats, because these seats go fast. And call the office at 978-526-7500. Again, this is for the Manchester Council on Aging, 978-526-7500. For details and to make reservations, here's the list. Friday, April 10th, that's today, trip to Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Americana Restaurant. The van pickup starts at 11, so you should call quickly to see if there's still room. Friday, April 17th, a trip to the farmland in Wakefield, produce shopping with Italian specialties and a butcher shop. The van pickup starts at 10:15 a.m. and return around 1. Grief walks. If you suffered a life-altering loss, consider joining a new Gloucester Movement community in an 8-week walking-based grief group. There is strength in numbers, and there is healing to be found in walking weekly walks by the sea led by trained local facilitators. Weekly walks are scheduled from this Sunday, April 12th to May 31st. To learn more and sign up, you can visit emotion-mc.org. Again, that's emotion-mc.org. Just a quick note, Rose Baker closed today for renovations. It's written by Bobby Grady. The Rose Baker Center for Aging Well will be closed this Friday, April 10th, for renovations with more scheduled closures on the horizon. The center announced the closure Wednesday afternoon, along with its scheduled closure on Patriots Day, April 20th and 21st, to renovate the lobby. The center at 6 Manuel F. Lewis Street could reopen as soon as April 22nd. In late March, the center announced it would be undergoing a full rebrand, including a name change from the Rose Baker Senior Center to the Rose Baker Center for Aging Well, along with several renovation projects. The renovations include repainting the lobby in colors similar to the building's exterior, replacing the front desktop counter. A new sign will be installed as well. Before visiting on April 22nd, the center recommends calling 978-325-5800. Again, that number, the Rose Baker number, is 978-325-5800 to make sure it's open. You will never see freedom again. Ex-city man sentenced for co-ed's murder. It's written by Jill Harmachinsky. Lawrence. Dennis Foley recalled the horrific recurring nightmares where her younger sister, that's Denise Foley, Claire Gravel, screams for help over and over. And none of us were there, Foley tearfully said in Lawrence Superior Court. Foley said she waited 39 years, 9 months, and 9 days. But finally on Thursday, she confronted her sister's killer, former Gloucester resident John Carey, just moments before he was sent to prison for the rest of his life. Claire's brutal murder at age 20 left a hole in Gravel's tight-knit family from North Andover that could never be filled. Losing Claire was difficult enough, but then watching her parents deal with the loss of a child was unbearable, she said. Claire's murder affected 5 generations of our family. One by one, Gravel's 5 siblings took the stand Thursday to tell Judge Jeffrey Karp about their fun and family-loving sister whose energy and dreams were cut short when Carey strangled her to death with her own tank top in 1986. Carey, 67, was convicted on March 3rd of murdering Gravel, who was a Salem College student from North Andover. Jurors found him guilty of first-degree murder with extreme atrocity and cruelty, which carries an automatic penalty of life in prison without the possibility of parole. He was convicted nearly 40 years after Gravel's body was found off the highway in Beverly. The trial spanned several weeks with Karp presiding. Gravel's case was one of the area's long-standing cold cases that was investigated over the years by Elaine Gill, a retired state police detective lieutenant who initially investigated the murder when she was just 24. She's now the deputy police chief at Merrimack College in North Andover. Attending the sentencing Thursday in Lawrence Superior Court was Gravel's family, Gill, fellow retired State Police Lieutenant Steve Buscheri, and Essex County District Attorney Paul Tucker. Also present were some of Gravel's friends and even English teacher Paul Gregoire, who remembered Gravel from her time at North Andover High School. She was a spitfire. She was feisty, Gregoire said. Donna Gravel spoke in court about how her sister was just 5 weeks short of her 21st birthday. Similar to her sister Denise, Donna spoke about how we lost part of my mother when we lost Claire. You're an evil, mean, dangerous, remorseless person, she said. You belong in prison for the rest of your natural life. Her old brother, Bob Gravel, said it haunts him to this day that he wasn't there that night to save Claire. She wanted to go everywhere and do everything. You took that from her, he said. I take comfort in knowing you will never see freedom again. If anyone deserves life in prison, it is you. When asked if they wanted to address the court, Carey's attorney, Mark Booker, said an appeal of the murderer's conviction has been filed. Carey, who grew up in Gloucester and graduated from Gloucester High School, was charged with Gravel's murder in 2022 after prosecutors said his DNA was found on a tank top the young woman was wearing when she was found. Prosecutors said Carey, who also lived in Hamilton, strangled the young woman to death with a top for sexual gratification. She was last seen leaving Major McGleish's bar in Salem, where she had met friends after a softball game. The DNA match didn't occur until after Carey was convicted in a 2007 strangulation attempted murder case and was serving a state prison sentence. He was indicted and arraigned on the murder charge in 2022. Numerous witnesses called by prosecutors were current or retired state troopers. Jurors also heard testimony from a number of crime scene and forensics experts, including those assigned to the state police crime lab. As part of the trial, jurors were also bused to Salem and Beverly to see multiple sites associated with the trial. We will never know who Claire Gravel would have been. John Kerry shattered her dream and her family. She was a fun, friendly, and feisty. What a great mother she would have been, said Assistant District Attorney Kim Fitella, noting Gravel was a loyal friend and the favorite babysitter in the neighborhood. Here's this week's Senior Lookout column from Tracy Arabian. Today's headline, Tips for Avoiding AI Scams. Imagine answering the phone and hearing your grandson's voice pleading for help, only to discover it's not him at all. Increasingly, reports are pouring in of what's called voice cloning scams, where artificial intelligence, AI, can mimic someone's voice so perfectly that even close family members cannot tell the difference. This new wave of fraud is just one of the many ways criminals are using AI to trick older Americans into parting with their money or personal information. AI is everywhere now, behind our search engines, voice assistants, medical tools, even the photos we see online. Most of this technology is designed to make life easier. But like any powerful tool, it can be used for good or ill. Understanding how it works and taking a few common sense precautions can go a long way toward protecting yourself and even help you take advantage of AI's benefits. Fraudsters no longer have to rely on poorly written emails or obvious fake calls. With AI, they can clone voices. Just a few seconds of someone talking, often taken from a social media video, is enough for AI software to create a convincing duplicate. Scammers then call pretending to be a loved one in distress. Create what's called deep fake videos or photos. These realistic looking images can make false information or identity seem legitimate. Generate fake texts and emails. AI can now write messages that sound natural and use the right tone, making phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, scams harder to spot. Imitate official voices. Some fraudsters use AI to mimic customer service agents, bank employees, or Medicare staff, hoping to get personal data. The best defenses are rooted in skepticism and patience, two qualities many older adults already have in abundance. Pause before acting. If a loved one calls in distress asking for money, hang up and call them back on their regular number. Don't trust caller ID alone. AI tools can spoof phone numbers, making it appear that the call is from a known contact or institution. Guard your personal information. Never share passwords, banking details, or Medicare numbers over the phone or an email unless you initiated the contact. Vary your social media habits. Avoid posting too many personal videos or details that could be used by scammers to mimic you or your loved ones. Use technology against technology. Many phone carriers and apps now provide tools to block suspected scam calls or detect AI-generated content. Consider having a safe word for your family to confirm when an out-of-the-ordinary situation has arisen. While scammers have gotten more creative, AI also offers tremendous promise, especially for older adults. In the medical world, AI is transforming how care is delivered and diagnoses are made. Doctors are using AI-driven systems to spot diseases earlier, from analyzing x-rays to detecting subtle signs of dementia and heart disease. Hospitals use AI to track vital signs around the clock, alerting staff before a problem becomes an emergency. Even pharmacies use AI to check for drug interactions, helping ensure medication safety. At home, AI tools can be equally helpful. Voice assistants such as Alexa or Siri can remind you to take medications, schedule appointments, or even control smart devices so you don't have to get up to turn off a lamp. AI-powered hearing aids can filter out background noise and enhance speech clarity. For those living alone, smart sensors can notice unusual movement patterns and send alerts if something seems wrong. AI is also helping bridge isolation. Programs that convert text to speech or translate languages in real time can connect people across generations and communities. And AI companions, designed not to replace human connections but to supplement it, are already showing promise in reducing loneliness among older adults. It's natural to feel wary of fast-moving technology, especially when bad actors exploit it. But it's worth remembering that AI in the right hands is a powerful ally. It can help us stay healthier, more connected, and more independent. The key is awareness. By staying alert to new scams, verifying before acting, and using AI tools thoughtfully, older adults can enjoy the benefits of this technological revolution without becoming its victims. Town meeting on Saturday, served by Times staff, Rockport. Annual town meeting is this Saturday morning when 24 warrant articles will be considered. The meeting is expected to begin at 8:30 a.m. sharp in the John Lane Auditorium at Rockport High School, 24 Jordans Lane. Doors to the school will open at 7:45 a.m. for registered town voters to check in. Moderator Brian Sullivan has said fiscal articles will be addressed first, followed by articles related to real estate tax exemptions and the seasonal community designation. Also on the warrant is a non-binding citizens petition that seeks to curb the authority of President Donald Trump. Sullivan encouraged voters to review details about the zoning matters on the planning board's page on the town's website, which is www.rockportma.gov. I'll repeat that, rockportma.gov, where the warrants can also be found. For all of us here at TIC, thanks so much for listening. Please be sure to join us next week for more editions of the Gloucester Daily Times. And, of course, have a great weekend.